Welcome to the Spinfoil Theory Podcast. Each week we sit down and discuss our favorite lore topics from within the Destiny universe. Specifically, we intend to take a close look at a specific question that has been nagging us and potentially the Destiny community as a whole. To fulfill that, our discussions tend to assume that you already have some background in the Destiny lore. Despite that, our goal is to be as lighthearted and welcoming to everyone as possible. With that out of the way, let's dive into this week's topic.
Oh man, I could just... Okay, you guys ready? I'm ready.
Oh, I'm just opening up. I meant for you to have, like, all the friends. But I'm also ready for the show.
But hold on, I'm just opening up some documents here.
Awesome.
Squint. Yeah. Because, basically, on this Discord server, it's called the Cryptarchy. Mm-hmm. They're like trying to understand the languages of Destiny, which is so cool.
That's cool, yeah.
And so a while back, I wrote an article for Ishtar.
I see that.
Collective, talking about hive runes, and they use that as a basis of everything else.
It's a fantastic reference. I'll say that much.
Yeah. your I actually am not rewriting it, but kind of rewriting it right now because because of what I've done. I read some code, little aside here. For real life stuff, I'm a software engineer at NASA.
I may have been bragging about that. I don't know.
Bragging?
I may have been bragging to just random people. Like, they don't even know I have a show. I'll be like, yeah, I got a NASA scientist I'm gonna interview on Wednesday. So you could just schedule around that. So yeah.
No, it's all good. It's all good. And it's yeah. I've been working there for I think 4 years now.
That's what's up.
Yeah. Because I'm technically still in, I'm in college for another, month? Yeah, month. Because I'm in summer quarter right now.
Okay.
Finishing up one class and then I'm free.
Yay.
Nice.
But yeah. But, I'm going to do a little aside. First quarter at my university, they had this class that astronomy majors could take. And it was called pre-map. So, pre-major in astronomy program.
Okay.
And I got in. It was they only had a certain amount of spots.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in and I was like, oh, this is exciting. So basically, they took the core and they kind of divided it in half. Yeah. So the first half of the core, they taught us how to use Python, how to write papers, easy stuff. Mm-hmm. Then the next half of the quarter, a bunch of, graduate students and professors were basically gave the class an elevator pitch for what they're working on. Hey, we need an extra person to help look through this data or run this code or whatever. And I picked the one that was simulating exoplanets.
Nice.
I was like, that sounds super cool. So I did that. And I did that for my entire time as an undergrad. And then this, the beginning of summer quarter, my boss was like, all right, I know you're graduating soon, but I want to hire you as a permanent position. And I was like, what? Me? Well, because one of the things I had done is I was running simulations before on an older laptop. My old, it only had I couldn't even run Destiny on it. I tried once in the middle of class running Destiny on it and I landed on the moon. And the Altars of Sorrow, I jumped once, and then it crashed.
I love it.
It was pretty funny. But, I basically got... It would take a really long time to run simulations, because they're slow.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote this program that basically... Because it would only run one simulation at a time on one core. It would do, we did that. All right, next simulation. And it would be really slow. So I said, screw this. And I wrote a program that basically utilizes however many cores you want. So, mm-hmm. my supercomputer, upgraded gaming computer has like 16 cores. So I'm like, unlimited power. So, yeah. Nice. So I wrote this thing that a lot of people are actually using now because it makes it way more efficient on how to run stuff. So I yeah, like that's been like my, cool. That's like my baby. But yeah. And then, so basically I used my coding experience from my job and I wrote this coding thing for Hive runes. And
that's awesome.
Because basically, Hive runes, if you look at them, they're divided into three parts. Mm-hmm. They have the top part, the middle part, and the bottom part.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. When you look at... Hold on one sec. So, like, when looking at, like, the Xenophage runes and the runes on, like, Shriekers and the Cryptoglyph, Hive runes can be, like, flipped, like, vertically and horizontally. So that means, technically speaking, stuff that can be, like, a top part of the rune can also be a bottom part of the rune, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And then also, you can flip some of them if they can be flipped. Some of them, they're symmetrical, so it doesn't matter if they're flipped or not. So I did that, and I was like, okay. And I wrote a script that basically made every single combination of a rune humanly possible.
Mm-hmm.
60,000 different runes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, because what I also did is, if you look at, like, shoot, what's another good idea? Like, there are some parts of, from staring at runes for so long, I noticed there were some kind of patterns for, the Hive runes. Is so, like, there'd be a piece that basically would look, I call it, like, a whole piece, and then there's, like, another one that's, like, a broken version of it. So, like, for example, there's one that is a dot in the middle, and then it has two lines going diagonally out.
Mm-hmm.
That's one that's a whole one. And then if you've done Pit of Heresy, and you get to the part where those booby traps.
Oh, yeah.
There's one that's a dot, and it has two little tiny lines up top. And then that one would be a broken version of that first one.
Okay.
And then there's a bunch of other different broken versions of it. But then you can also flip those and draw these other different combinations. And that's a lot of them. So yeah, I think in total there's... Let's see where to go. Graphics. No, it's not in there. It's not in there. Lies! Oh, right. Right. It's in that other folder. I have so many folders. It's terrible.
I know the feeling. I will compartmentalize stuff, especially after I start getting, like, I don't know. I'll have, like, you know, like, your downloads or whatever. That it's really easy to let that get out of control. But, like, every now and again, I'll just have a fit and be like, no.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
That is me right now. Oh, wait, no, there it is. I found it. Wow, I am blind as a bat. I am blind. Because I had it. Because I have it set up where, like, I have, like, this Hive language folder that people can access on the server. Basically has, like, you know, the different, like, banners, so to speak. So you have, like, the Savathun symbol in Crown of Sorrows. You have, like, Oryx's symbol. You have Crota's symbol. Mm-hmm. Those kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have another one that's, like, the individual parts of runes. Okay. And there's, like, the actual, like, phrases. That one is a big one. Because
I can imagine.
I have every single phrase that has ever shown up in Destiny as Hive runes. So many. My, the thing that probably took the longest to make is the necrotic cipher. The little lore things you could find on the moon that would talk about the, whatchamacallit. The lore of the, it would give you the lore book, Inquisition of the Damned.
Oh.
Those little things.
Sure.
Those actually have a bajillion Hive runes on them.
Right.
398, I believe, if I remember correctly.
Huh.
I had to do that by hand, making my little graphics for them. My eyes were bleeding. Not really. Not actually, but
I would
certainly
hope not.
It certainly felt that way. Hold on.
It'd be like, you're allowed to take a break.
No. There's no such thing as breaks. Let's see if I can find it and
it's
send it to you guys.
With caffeine.
Caffeine, yes. All right. here it is. Yeah. It was so big that basically what I did is like I actually made two different versions. I made one where I like divided up into little tiny parts, and then I have one where it's like the full thing. So I'm gonna drag and drop into general. Is that all right? And you
Go
guys
for
can look
it.
At it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's fine. Right. So question for you. Just speaking of the mention of the individual
So many.
Like yeah, that's really cool.
Wow.
Wow.
So many.
Talking about the house symbols, like orcs,
oh, yeah.
Crotas, and what have you, is orcs symbol just his, or is it like interchangeable with the Taken? Because you see like the sort of for example on like the Gambit jerseys, where it like explains the perks that each class get. I was just looking over at mine, like the sort of the advantage on Taken is a slash through orcs.
I think
symbol.
Like in there's when it comes to Destiny, there are some stuff that are like in game they mean X, but in the lore they mean something else. Like they have to have like a divide between like game mechanics and like real life, like the lore. Like for example, when we do a raid, if we wipe, technically,
yeah,
we don't come back. In the lore, that means if you failed, you were like Eris's fire team. You fucked up. You messed up real bad. But
that's true.
I guess technically.
And those things that shoot our ghosts all angrily when we're dead and waiting for.
I know, like those technically, our ghosts should be like flying around, being like, "Nope, I'm not about this life."
I wouldn't even have mine with me. He would be chilling, or she. I don't know what kind of ghost I have, but let's say it's Peter Dinklage. Peter Dinklage would be so far away from the danger, and I would just be like, just come back later. You can just take your time. It's cool. I won't notice how long it takes. But once
exactly.
It's safe, like, then come back. We were we just added to our list, sort of on that note, since the Almighty's crashed, is that Titan.
I was just
like,
gonna mention that, like
animation?
That guardian that got trapped on the
yeah.
Almighty, he should be okay now.
He should be able
he
to
should
be
okay.
picked up. Unless like maybe that part of the ship is still going.
I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming not, because we saw the whole thing go.
It did. Yeah, no, it did. It did go full magical girl in the sky.
It did go kablam. Wow.
I will say that the wings are still there, but the whole core is what was shot out, basically.
Yeah.
If you watched the live event, the wings were still there, but yeah.
And he was
I'm,
in like
I'm
an engine room
the core.
Thing.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, that's probably explodey. Exploding
exactly.
Gone.
The whole thing went kablam. He's free, I hope. I just want, like, a lore entry, like, next season or whatever of the ghost and the guardian, like, being like, hey. He's all like, yeah, I did it. I blew up the Almighty. Wait, why am I on Earth?
Because
that was their whole mission. Their whole mission was to go blow up the Almighty, and then that guardian got stuck in the Vex trap, and he's been stuck there for so long. And for him, it was, like, instant. That he's like out, but for the ghost is like, you're alive.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the ghost would be crying. If I could cry.
Maybe the ghost, I don't know. His ghost seemed a little sass. Like maybe it'll be more like a cat that you haven't like you've been
oh,
on,
yes,
you've been
like
gone
a cat.
For a couple weeks. And it
oh,
comes back just like, yeah, like weird. I've been hanging out with my new friend, Smitty.
Oh no.
Yeah, I can't
I've
res
been
him.
Betrayed.
He didn't mind. Or, like, what if it's something, like, completely sad, like the ghost went back to the Traveler just to get reset?
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
That'd be so sad.
So sad.
Yeah.
Oh, I cry. Yeah. I mean, it is possible.
Yeah. I
think that's an
glad.
That's an interesting thing to think about.
Well, it's...
Like she said, no.
Well, it's especially because, like, at least Sagria can just kind of like interface with a ghost and like make it go do that. So I don't know if that's something, is she special? Or is that like something like any ghost can do? Like that's part of their like when they interact that way, it's like, oh, like, all right, I picked a bad one. I have to go.
I don't know if that was Sagira herself or if it was the machine that we stuck our ghost into.
Yeah, it might have been the machine we stuck our ghost into. Maybe. I'm not sure.
I thought if I recall correctly, I believe that she hovered over it and like interfaced with it. Because that happens in the wild. That does. I don't think that happens. That happens, like, right after they fought someone. Because it... I think he's outside and they're traveling. Because that's how the warlord happens upon him in the first place.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Every rune, basically, is a 250 by 250 pixel grid. Or can fit into a little square.
Okay.
So, I made a really, really big grid background, basically, and I put them all in by hand. And then after that, then I'm like, okay, it's actually this big. So then I'd make I use Adobe Illustrator. So then I made a little artboard that's like how big it is, and then I remove all of the background. But you have to make sure every single one's centered in their little box. That's the part that takes the longest.
Huh.
Is centering them in their little boxes.
I could imagine.
Yeah.
Especially with this one. This one, like, hurt my eyes.
Yeah, I've done some stuff for visual purposes in my life before, and that just sounds maddening.
Right?
It sounds like one of those things that I would sit there, and it's like, no, Taylor, like, you could take a break. And I'd be like, ooh, but can I?
Yeah, same.
Center, this is like, how Yor got twisted by the
darkness. Oh, no. Guys, you know about the cake meme, right? Right?
The cake meme.
You know about the cake meme on Twitter?
Is it cake?
Is it cake? And okay. Now someone's doing, is it cake? No, it's a steak. And I'm like, no, please, yeah. I don't need this. Please.
I gotta tell you, like the first one of those that I saw, the meat was so marbled, and it just had like this certain color to it that it actually, when I first looked at it, I thought it was one of those Jello things with the cream in it. That was a fun time on the Twitter for me. I don't know if that was relevant to the show or if anyone actually cared about that story, but now you've had to listen to it. So
you... I kind of feel like Abe Simpson right now. Principal Skinner. And one day you'll be old, too.
Okay. If you're going to bring up Abe Simpson on a Destiny pod, I am forced to just go, my favorite meme that I saw that came out with the season where we brought back Saint 14. And it where it has Osiris walk in on Rasputin, and it's just the meme is just it they just pasted Osiris's head over Abe, and it's old man yells at Cloud.
No.
And Rasputin over the Cloud.
Old man yells at computer.
well, especially since he's back in his network, I'm really digging the Cloud reference.
Yes,
that's great. I saw that right away, and I was like, "Yeah, perfect."
I'm so happy. I guess getting a little back on track. This is amazing. I'm looking at your image now, and it's just all the different,
all the
different pairings and like little nuances.
It's very nuanced, and here's the best part. I had already gotten all of the necrotic ciphers on my account.
Right.
So I made a Smurf account and did the first mission. I made a warlock because, you know, I'm getting lore. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. I made a warlock.
Right.
I'm 750. And I'm like, well, I have to go to the moon. So I go to the moon and do the first campaign mission of the moon. I'm still 750, mind you. There are places on the moon that are
850. Yeah.
I basically was like, I just need to get a screenshot. Hive, please don't shoot me. Could you please? And then they'd literally like look at me, and then I'd be dead, and I'd be like, ow. But luckily, I had found spots like in the actual like more not in like the Hellmouth or other places with really high level enemies. I mean, not really high, like, for us, because we're, like, really high, but I'm, like, new players. They're like, I'm scared.
Yeah.
Question marks. What do they mean?
Why am I being... Ow.
Pretty much. Why am I dying? Oh, I'm dead now.
I have no qualms with you.
Pretty much. Yeah, I found a bunch of them, and the hardest part was, like, getting all of the sides and making sure they all were, like, correct. Because it's basically, kind of like the Hive cryptoglyph, how it has, like, different sides on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I almost want to have someone, like, 3D print a necrotic cipher, because I'm like, I have the runes.
Sure.
Yeah.
They're actually really, really big. They're about, from looking at one, because there was one in the arm of, like, a dead astronaut. They're about a foot long. They're pretty big.
Okay.
I figure, like, at best, you have, like, a wizard maybe using, like, her blaster to write it. I feel like in most cases, you're probably at someone, like, cutting into something.
I mean, if you look at Thrall's claws, you know, they could just claw it in. If they do it wrong, then the wizard would be like, you're not worthy to live by right of sword logic because you're stupid. Bye.
And goodbye.
Goodbye.
One thing that's really striking me is I never noticed this before looking at your cipher here, but it's like every rune at least starts with the same sort of like center stroke. And then like sometimes it's taken away, like either like down the center or maybe like diagonally or something like that. But like it looks like every word or every rune starts with that same like cross stroke.
Yepper depper, if that's something I've noticed. Let me see if I can find.
And I'm wondering if there's ever an instance of that symbol by itself, or is that just like...
You mean just like the horizontal line?
Yeah.
By itself? Yeah, yeah. There's some instances of that. It's really rare, though. It's only used on, like, consoles. So, like, for example, in D1, when you would do the strike, a la cool strike, and you'd have to go to, like, the left console and the right console.
Right.
On those, there would be, like, it's basically almost like it's like a keypad. Like a keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, is what we were thinking it is. So it would have, like, you know, all the letters, and we're thinking those actually mean, like, numbers in that case, because hold on, let me grab another one.
That makes sense.
Your guys's general is going to be full of hive runes. I'm sorry.
I'm strangely comfortable.
I've accepted this.
Strangely comfortable with that.
You're like, this is fine.
Yeah.
Like, for example, this is the control console. Boop. Like. You see how it has, like, the lines at the bottom?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so when like... that's the only time when they're really used by themselves.
Okay. I wonder if they do... I'm wondering if... Because it's still built off that, right? And I'm wondering if that's, like...
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that's... I'm just, like, looking at it, and I'm wondering if one by itself is one, or if it's, like, zero.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's probably zero. Because zero, then you have one, then you have two. But that last one with the line, that's five.
And so they...
Or I guess four.
Well, I mean, what if they have, like, a base three?
Oh, yeah, that is true. They do only have...
Yeah. Or so, I guess, like, base four. Because that would be four. Base four, base three. Yeah. Sorry, base three. I was right the first time. Because it's, like, one, two, and then it's, like, another symbol. And then I guess you could start, stacking that symbol.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, but this is all of the... This is all of the, I guess you could call them the base runes. So, like, everything else on this one is, like, most of the runes are this one, but they're either, like, flipped or rotated of some sort.
Oh, well, that one's got three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, there's, like, one with one, and then two, and then three dots, and maybe then the last
four.
One has.
Yeah, maybe it's base four.
Yeah, I think it's base four, which is...
That's cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe it's, maybe it's, like, a really simple reason for that. I don't know enough about their background, but it's just like maybe there's my favorite one so far though is back up next to pizza, which I'm gonna call Angry Man symbol.
The Angry Man symbol, yes.
Yeah, or
I love it.
he looks like a little angry man, and he's got like a goatee that's really making him look extra stern.
Yes, yeah. I call the one like to the left of pizza. I call that one Jazz Hands.
I love it.
Because their hands are, it looks like little hands. They're like, this is me.
Oh, yeah, I love it. Like, I love it.
Like, if you look at the top of that one, and you look at the one two above, with the one with the same dot in the middle, They're like the same, but it's like that one, the one that you call the Angry Man, that one is like a broken version of that one. And then same thing if you look at two or three to the right of the one that's the same, like it's the dot in the middle, then the two diagonal lines.
Right.
You go... Wait, left, right. Yes. The one on the end, on the second row.
Okay, yep.
That one's also a different broken version of that same rune there. There's lots of really weird nuanced stuff.
Yeah.
So many nuanced stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's super cool. I love the Hive. No, they're my friends.
This is super cool. Have you, so you wrote the script for your cipher, and they're using it on Cryptarchy, I think you mentioned, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How much have you guys been able to glean?
To translate?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I figure it's like maybe not too much, but like maybe sometimes there's some corollary stuff.
We know like what I think we have like a couple, like it's a lot of like connotation. It depends, mm-hmm. But like for example, the one that's we call this one five lines. The one that's like the two little lines and then the big line and the two little lines. That mm-hmm. one, yeah. That one means lock. That one means lock or door, because. Uh-huh. We have a spreadsheet where we keep track of where every single rune shows up. Like, okay, this one shows... That one shows up on chests. And it shows up on locked doors. And it shows up on other locked chests. And other locked doors. So, shows up on a lot of locked and doors. So, and it's a really common rune.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, we're thinking that one, at least for now. Because some runes have, like, a bunch of different meanings. Like... The little check, the one with the little, not the checkmark one. The same row as the checkmark one, but the one that's like the up parentheses and then the line is not a full line, it's like a triangle.
Yeah.
That one mm-hmm. has, it means haste or lies. That was from D1. That was from the Black Hammer runestone. You got it if you dismantled your Black Hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And then in D2, that one means treasure, doorway, or chamber. So that rune in total has five different meanings. So it's not... So basically we're thinking it really heavily depends on like the connotation mm-hmm. and like what it's on.
It's context-based, essentially.
Yeah, it's context, basically. Because you can't be like, well... One of the things I did that was really funny... You guys have done Pit of Heresy, I'm assuming.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
So, you know the part where you come to the door, the wall of doors that aren't actually doors?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
That part. What's funny is, so, me and my buddy, we went through and we looked at what every single rune was on top of every single door.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically just saying, this is a door. This is a door. is what that rune is, because it's like, it uses... The five-line rune, which means door, in this connotation. It uses the one with the three dots above it, which also means door. And then it also used the that one that has five different meanings, which also can mean doorway. So they all mean door in that context. And it just was really funny, because I'm like, door, 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 door. But none of them are actually real doors, so they might mean, like, fake door. We don't know. Like, that's obviously the hardest part, is, like, the main thing is we don't have, like, a Rosetta Stone,
mm-hmm.
so to speak.
Where there's, like, context and, like, yeah.
Yeah. And, like, that's honestly, like, how, like, we were able to translate, like, ancient Egyptian, which is, I drew a lot of similarities from.
Yeah, because the Rosetta Stone.
To ancient Egyptians.
Yeah, the Rosetta Stone has it in Greek, which we did have.
Yeah, right. Like, we knew yeah. Greek. We're like, we know Greek, we got this, but we don't know Egyptian. Uh-huh. Now we know.
Yeah.
But yeah, we don't have anything like that for
And it's ridiculous, too. I
so, like...
Thought... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, on the Rosetta Stone, it's, like, ridiculous how much they fit on it, because it's, like, big, but the writing's, like, really, really tiny.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's super, like... duper, duper tiny. Super small. Yeah.
I'm just like, what?
Microscopic. But yeah. And then... Something that's interesting is, so, this is something we had to revise. pretty recently. So if you guys know, you guys have done Chronosaurus, right? So you know if you beat after you beat Gowron, you can go inside the crown and you see all these hybrids, right? Spooky. So for a really long time, we thought the symbol in the middle was Savathun's symbol. It's not Savathun's symbol. I mean, it is, but it's... How do I explain what this is? The crown of that symbol is not necessarily the symbol for Savathun, but it's a symbol for... Because basically, it's Savathun's warped version of Oryx's symbol, basically. Because it looks like kind of like Oryx's symbol, if I remember correctly. But it's like flipped. So it has like a different meaning now. And she's also like added to it. So I think we had come to the conclusion. Let me just search up in.
That it's what, like a like
a new
Taken
of that?
Well, I mean, it's...
Yeah, kind of like a variant of the Taken symbol.
Yeah, so it's like the new symbol of the Taken, which, I mean, I really love that, because then she has something that doesn't even have her true symbol, so we wouldn't be sure if we ever happened upon it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we have, like, the symbol for the Taken, not Taken Queen, Witch Queen expansion.
Yeah.
So right now we're saying that's maybe Savathun's symbol?
I thought that was Crota's daughter.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No. This one. Savathun. We think this one's the Savathun symbol.
Oh, that one. Yep. Sorry.
Which kind of makes sense. I mean, it kind of... I like that it has like a little crown on it. I think that's cool. A little crown. And then, oh my god.
It looks
I
like
just
little,
I realized.
Looks like a little witch.
You
lady.
flip that upside down.
You get the Taken King symbol.
And you get this symbol, except this one only has one eye. But look at that. It has the same crown that Oryx has on the top, but then if you flip it, it's the Taken symbol.
Mm-hmm.
Mind blown. I just noticed that.
That's so true. That's actually pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I that is a very, very cool observation. That's I was sort of thinking something similar. I was like, oh, that's what Angelica's does. Like that's pretty cool.
Yeah. But this is the symbol that's in where'd it go? Crown Sorrow symbol. This is the one that's in the crown. So it has the same like three dots as the actually it only has three dots. Huh. Weird. But it has the same like almost crown like thing that Oryx's has, but then it has like these extra lines on it, and I'm just like, whack. But
it looks like that first symbol, but like all Cthulhu'd.
Basically, yeah, I'm like, it's a Cthulhu version. It's a big spooky version. But no, because basically, when you wear the crown, you kind of become a puppet, basically. Because like Gowron, poor Gowron, he was a baby, and Cal's like, hey, small baby, put on hat. And baby was like, I don't want to put on the hat.
You're going to put on this hat.
Put on the hat, baby. And baby's like, okay, put on hat. I'm a zombie now.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Basically is what happened. Oh. Like, what's crazy is, like, when you do the Leviathan, the baths encounter, you're killing newborn babies.
Mm-hmm.
They're clones.
They're literally clones. Just popping out of the cloning facility.
They're like, I'm alive! And now we kill them.
Yeah, it's a little... I will say they do come out swinging.
They do. They do come out swinging. They're like, all right, I'm ready.
I was just gonna say, like, it's like, like, it's not like they're friendly babies who just want you to.
They're
be
not.
Sweet to
they're
them.
Not friendly babies. Like, they're really mean babies.
Yeah, and
but
they're
yeah.
huge. Just
huge babies.
Fully grown, gigantic. Sorry, bears. And now I'm also thinking, like, and I'm sure this is included in the stuff you've shown us, but like, I'm just like, now I'm thinking of all the runes that are inside that helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, because I remembered that the first time we we beat him when it first came out, and I'm just like, I'm looking inside the helmet. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
There you go. This one. Yeah. It's weird. But, yeah, so basically, I'm trying to remember what we had said as a group for that. Basically, we had said that that middle symbol is basically Savathun's own version of taking without actually taking, basically.
I mean,
using the taken power. Because she could have done that.
Well, I like the way that it's sort of, it's a zombie, but it's sort of like a different version of the zombie. So it reminds me more of like the voodoo zombie. Like, you know, they get the powder blown on you, and like, you know, like you're just this like mindless drone thing that's, you know, stronger now and all this other stuff.
Yeah, basically, that's kind of a good way of looking at it.
And it just makes me think that, you know, like brainwashing in that way is the perfect thing for like the hive, sort of like god of lies. It just like convinces you to believe
she just
like
does
something
this.
Else. Yeah,
it's kind of terrifying, honestly. But yeah, hive or whack.
I mean, I will say I'm glad that so far it's mostly contained to a hat I don't have to wear.
A hat? Yes, it's a hat.
that you're aware of.
You have to remember. Do you have the music on when you launch Destiny 2?
Yeah, I do.
You have been infected by Savathun. I'm sorry.
Oh, but it's like...
Walk past the frame that's humming it in the hallway.
Well, yes. See, but I'm kind of...
It's terrifying. Like, if you think about how many people are probably infected, it's probably the whole tower.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. Zavala. Ikora. Everybody.
Oh, man.
Us. Because think about it. It's like a little song. It's like one of those like jingles you can't get out of your head.
Mm-hmm.
It's there forever. But we don't really know
what it does,
like,
or what
what it does. Like, we don't know what it does. Like,
exactly.
The hive. It's the hive.
That's the terrifying thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's the hive version of pop music.
This is K-pop.
Just screaming.
Yeah.
Just the hive.
It's high pop.
Hive. Omnigo. I bet they thought Omnigo was like probably like a pop star. Or something. They're like, oh, yes, we get to hear those Omnigal screams. Yes, those are my favorite.
When Crota's fire team visited the moon and she started to sing, they were like, guys, fucking impromptu performance. She is singing
God,
now.
Yes. Oh my
no
God.
One believed she was. I didn't know she was going to do this. This was totally spontaneous. It was
That's
unplanned.
So funny. Oh my God. That's great.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Get ready.
Oh my!
I really like that. Well, and it's really interesting, because the songs have power, and there it goes like beyond just communication.
It's like a spell almost. Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, it reminds me of like just kind of like. So, what we've seen other versions in incarnations of the Hive, because so far I believe like it's just Wizards and Toland who've done the song.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, Toland didn't even sing the song though; he just heard it.
I mean, he sang this in originally when he was with the Crota Fire Team, and they went into the Hellmouth and into Crota's throne world.
Uh-huh.
Iriyu was singing the Death Song, and
right.
Toland sang along with her to not die.
Right. Okay. That's
and Eris sort of sat instead of singing the death song, which we now know what the death song is. It's them saying the worm gods over and over and over, which is kind of cool. But
invocation.
Eris, instead of singing with the death song, she basically sang the members of the fire team that she'd lost, and that was enough of a way to like counteract the death song so she didn't die as she was running away.
That's pretty sweet. But
I feel so bad for Eris. I just want to give her a hug and be like, be okay.
It's okay.
We gave her, I mean, I think in game, in you know, the
Shadowkeep progression.
Yeah, like when we get her all her fire teams, Jim Jams.
The Jim Jams.
Yeah,
I love it.
and we help her mourn and get the mean old darkness ghost to leave. I think we help her heal a little bit. I think you know. Maybe,
yeah, I
maybe
definitely felt
got,
like that helped.
Maybe
she's
got...
not as like cynical anymore. She's a lot more chill. She even makes jokes.
I like
it. Right.
She sings about the moon being made of cheese. It's a whole.
Well.
That was Savathun saying that.
Yeah,
because Shax was like, yes, this is a song Eris told me, and if you do the prophecy dungeon and you get
Titan, you were telling me the other day.
Drifter and Eris arguing.
Yeah, there's a Drifter and Eris arguing thing when you do the prophecy dungeon. If you, where they talk about, Drifter's like, hey, did you sing a song for Shax? And she's like,
I haven't heard that one yet.
I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, and then she's like, wait. This little ditty, did it go like this? And then she hums the Shadowkeep theme song.
Yeah.
And he's like, yep, that's the one. She's like, that was not me. That was Savathun.
Yeah.
That's
does
so
he still,
funny.
Does he, she was like, does that big oaf still have that Ahamkara skull above his head, above where he stands? And Director's like, yeah. He's like, tell him to get rid of it. He's like, I tried. He just said no. So, Shax is already. We don't know. Like, what's even crazier? So, if Shax is infected, does that mean, technically speaking, do you think maybe the Crucible is affected? Do you think maybe through us killing guardians, killing each other? I mean, yeah, we're not, like, perma-dying, but... we're killing each other and killing each other and killing each other. I wonder if that sort of killing each other sword logic tribute is also going to Savathun because Shax is infected.
What I find amusing is that Shax is sitting under that Ahamkara bone and he's wishing for us, for the rookies to be as strong as us. What does that mean?
Oh no!
He's literally wishing under Ahamkara's skull.
That's like terrible, Shax. You should know better.
I love it.
You should know better.
I love it. No, you can't. You can't stop the Shax. He is.
He's just
so
like,
ready.
Welp, this is happening.
I feel like he'd be. I feel like he would handle any, like, mind invasion sort of, like, in the most annoying way, like Batman would. Like, he would just start humming, like, dancing in the moonlight to himself.
Oh my god. Like, they're like, all right, it's time to take control of Shax. And Shax is just, like, humming the most annoying song ever.
Like
and they're just like,
oh, it's
like, all right, I'm out. I'm out.
Yeah, he's like, he's just, like, shout humming happy birthday. And like trying to combattle them.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, I'm loving the shout hum idea. I hadn't really considered that a possibility before, but that's amazing.
Oh man.
But where I was going with it is, you know, because sound has force, in the real world, and I'm wondering if that's like another way that the Hive have found to cut into reality, because like they can take their
sword. Oh yeah, that's true.
And literally cut into it. And I'm wondering if, like, this, like, high-pitched, like, death noise or, like, song, that is, or songs that they're able to invoke, I'm wondering if that's, like, another way to, like, you know, like
cut through reality.
Yeah.
I never thought of that. That's so smart.
Thank you.
My mind has been blown. It happens a lot.
I dig it. Thank you. Appreciate the compliment. But, yeah, because that just makes more sense because I'm really interested to see how if we ever see Zivu Arath as well.
We better.
Well, yeah,
we
but
better.
So what I'm wondering is though in the cases of like the other two twins, they kind of have like archetypes that we've run into, like Zivu Arath being a knight. And, like, you know, Savathun obviously being a witch, right? Or a wizard. Oryx being the navigator is like, I look back on it, like, floating around, has wings, big sword, is kind of like a combination of those two archetypes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if now that Savathun is, like, I'm just wondering, like, what changes or evolutions, like, because like Savathun we have obviously more information on, ironically, but I'm wondering if like her transformation is kind of like the transformation of the symbol, so that like she's no longer in that archetype, she's been changed by, I mean, by whatever.
Yeah, because she's trying to break free of
contract
of the worm.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that her symbol would like change and warp almost, and be like different than like the rest of the hive symbols, because she's trying so hard to be like, we're done. This whole contract thing, I thought it was a sham in the beginning. Still a sham. I'm out.
I feel like I don't. So like there's a very popular discussion going on in Destiny right now, about like whether or not there'll be like a third faction that emerges, and I kind of want to submit, I think in this way Savathun is more likely to work with a guardian if we have utility to that end to help her escape her worm contract.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. You want to know the reason why the Scarlet Keep was built? Because Savathun convinced the Hidden Swarm that if they build the keep, guardians will come, and the Scarlet Swarm can kill them. But that's what she told them. That's a lie, because she likes to trick people. The real reason she did it was that because she knew that we would win. She wanted to strengthen us for the upcoming battle against the darkness. She wants us to win against the darkness. She doesn't like us talking to the darkness. She's like, no, don't be friends with them. You got to beat them. Beat them up. You got to win. So that's why Savathun is so mad right now and throwing all her bad guys at us.
Because
she doesn't want us to talk to the darkness. She doesn't want us to become friends with them.
That much is clear. Yeah, I agree completely.
Yeah. I would, yeah.
She's
I would
like,
be,
no.
I'd be inclined to agree with that also.
But what I'm most excited about is when we do the weekly missions, you're going back to the Dreadnought. When you do those weekly missions, when you go to Savathun's court, those places that we go to are like almost carbon copies of places from the Dreadnought.
Okay,
so
yeah.
I'm hoping.
I hadn't realized that.
I'm hoping. I'm like crossing all my fingers. Not all of them, but like both my hands. I'm crossing my fingers that when we go to the Witch Queen, we go back to the Dreadnought.
I mean, that would make sense. That would be so cool.
Especially if they did the, how they have it now with the Ascendant Realm. How they've like updated it since it was in D1.
Mm-hmm.
Think about having like almost like ascendant challenges on the Dreadnought. Oh, that would be so cool.
That would be pretty cool.
I would super, super duper dig that for a multiplicity of reasons. And I really like that because I think that kind of puts it in a place to where like I don't think we would necessarily, even the first time we meet her, like be in her throne world.
It would be in the place
because I feel like if going back to the Dreadnought. It, like, if that's true, to me, that's just, like, we're taking the Taken from her.
Yes. Because now, how she's... gotta remember, you gotta take Book of Sorrows... not Book of Sorrows. The Truth to Power lore. The Grain of Salt.
Mm-hmm.
It's written by Savathun.
Yep.
But we know for a fact she has Kiora. Who can simulate. And... I mean, assuming, I know it's taking assumptions, but let's say hypothetically, we've had Tolin talk about it, we've had Eris talk about it, we've had multiple people in-game basically say that Kiora is how Savathun controls the Taken.
Mm-hmm.
So
I've heard that, and I really like it, especially in the things we've seen her do, different missions Bagels and I have discussed on some past episodes. That seem to have her beginning with the Vex.
Yes.
To, like, new Taken acquisitions in the system.
In the system, yeah. Because, I mean, she is Kiora. Kiora can take, and then as a Vex, can take other Vex a lot easier, maybe. Who knows?
That's kind of what it seems like, yeah. But, yep, go ahead.
What I started thinking of, since they're bringing back Vault of Glass, this is like spin foil. This is like spin foil theory time. This is like the
I'm
big crazy.
I'm here for it.
So... if Vogue is coming back, and they said in the interview, they're not just, you know, oh, it's here. You can do it. They're giving actual lore reasons as to why it's back.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, when Witch Queen comes out, they could easily, assuming we head to the Dreadnought, they could very easily bring back King's Fall and Crota's End. Very easily. So easy. You want to know how?
Taken.
So easy. Basically, Kiora, Blade Transform, can simulate Oryx. Terrify. Like, in his... Not just Oryx. I mean, Oryx at, like, peak of his power. Oh, I can snap my fingers and take these guys. Oh, I can snap my fingers over here. Oh, look, they're taken. Mwahaha. Because before, Kiora couldn't simulate Oryx. Kiora could only simulate Arash. Baby Oryx. Mm-hmm. Before
it was
he
paracausal.
Made the pact with the worm.
Yep.
And he was all like, what have we done? What have we done? Basically. But now that Kiora has learned hive magic and has been in the accompanying Savathun, you could just basically have King's Fall be Kiora simulating King's Fall. And we have to go through that, otherwise Savathun could get more power.
Absolutely.
That would be bad. Same thing with Crota. Boom! Mm-hmm. Trying to, like, if she Kiora could simulate Crota to try to get the rest of the hive in the system. I mean, most of the hive already are, but, like, to have a new threat to kind of divide the Guardians or whatever.
I wouldn't mind, one way or another, getting to revisit some of that content, because it was a lot of fun in Shadowkeep to go in and just, even if it's like a small version of it, to go in and just down Crota.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
That was so fun, especially the very last mission when you're in Crota's throne world. I was like, I'm back! Yay! I was so happy.
For the Crota Raider there already.
I do have to say this though, if we go back to the Dreadnought, they need to bring back the real Court of Oryx. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the dunk contest capital of Destiny. The real Court of Oryx.
Oh yeah, I
ball
remember
is
that.
Life.
Ball is life.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But what's interesting that I had always argued with a bunch of people is, so if you can kill people in other people, assuming like Ascendant Hive. So we have like Eerie Ute. We know Omnigul's in Ascendant Hive, for example.
Mm-hmm.
We can also assume that Crota's sisters are Ascendant Hive, and all of the Court of Oryx is Ascendant Hive.
Yep.
We didn't kill the Court of Oryx in their Ascendant Realm. They would come through that portal and be like, surprise! We're here,
we're
them, and then we'd kill them on Oryx's Dreadnought. My question is mostly, where the heck is the rest of the Court of Oryx? Where's Crota's sisters? That's my been thing, like, where are they? Where are my Pyramid Head wizards? Where are they?
I mean, well, speaking of that, I've wondered that myself, because I'm wondering if there's infighting, because, you know, the Hive all being one big pyramid scheme of, like, tribute. Like, now that the head's chopped off, you had, in my view, like, many people at the same level for it to work.
Yeah, you need someone at the top of the pyramid. But everyone was like, no, I want to be the top pyramid. No, I want to be top of the pyramid.
Right.
And there was all this infighting, which just made the whole, basically, think of it as, like, an actual literal three-sided, I guess that would be four sides, because it's the bottom side, but whatever. There's basically three different triangles. One triangle is Oryx's, one triangle is Savathun's, and one is Zivarath. When Oryx died, that didn't affect Savathun's or Zivarath's pyramid.
It
affected
everyone
Oryx's.
Below him, yeah. It's everyone
and
below
everyone,
him.
And the whole pyramid kind of just fell apart.
So it's
because
it's,
there wasn't a top anymore.
So
it's not a pyramid, it's a...
Like, what happened? And trapezoid. I would actually really like if that's how they divvied out what Oryx had. Like, Zivarath maybe gets his live hive. And then Savathun got the Taken.
Maybe. I mean, that would be interesting.
They have always
what I think
been
is interesting
to each other.
Is if you do one of the missions on the Dreaming City, it's the one where you go help the observatory. You do that, and there are Taken there that are daughter of Zivarath, son of Zivarath. Which got me thinking. It made me remember Malak from D1.
Yep.
How he was the son of Savathun. He went in to try and get some tribute and help Savathun out. And Oryx was like, I see what you're doing. No.
I'm gonna...
Bam!
Gonna
you're taken now. Now your tribute's going to me. I'm gonna rename you Malak. Because you a liar. And you poison. Ha! Sucker. Basically, so my thought process is maybe that's Zivu-Arath heard Savathun's scheme. Because some people are like, oh, maybe Zivu-Arath and Savathun are working together. I don't know if that's really the case. Because if so, I feel like we would see a lot more of, like, Zivu-Arath named enemies.
Right.
We literally have a small handful. There were some in the Forsaken, first mission of Forsaken in the Prison of Elders. It was like two. Like big guys, but that was really it.
Wonder if Savathun is like introducing some of those enemies just to throw us off and maybe.
That's also true. She could be doing that. She's crazy. I made this joke to my friend and I'm like, everything's Savathun. K-Dime? Savathun.
Ava Shadowkeep?
Savathun. Eva Levante?
Eva is definitely Savathun. We've already established this.
Eris? Yeah. Savathun. Me? Savathun. My friend lost it. He was just thinking it was so funny.
Oh, man.
But,
It's
basically... Go ahead, sorry.
I was gonna say it'd be like in The Matrix if all the Mr. Smiths started, like, rebelling against each other.
That would be hilarious. But yeah, my main thing is as of right now, my theory is that, the Zivu-Arath that we've seen in the game so far are basically they're trying to steal tribute from Savathun to help Zivu-Arath out, kind of like what Malak was doing.
Sure.
That's what I'm thinking so far. And then for the ones that have taken, Savathun's like, mm-mm-mm. No, you're not infringing upon my loop, my Dreaming City loop. That is my plan. I made this, not you. Get out. Bam, taken.
I would also offer that like the only mode that I'm pretty sure we've seen in the lore at all that Zivu-Arath has stuck to has been sending out war moons. So it could just be like, you know, she's sending them out in every direction because she's like, I need to make some war.
War.
Yeah, so, yeah. And they could
We do know that the Cabal and the Hive have fought before. Mm-hmm. We know that for a fact.
Yep.
Which is interesting. And yeah, that's where Kallus found the Gawron's helmet, was he found it on an abandoned warman.
Yep.
Oh man, if Savathun gets rid of her worm successfully, and then Zivu-Arath absorbs what's left of her pyramid too, Zivu-Arath would potentially become the strongest of the siblings that
ever.
Like, it would be Oryx level going down to kill Akka.
Basically, yeah. That's what I'm intrigued about, is to see, like... We know Savathun, I think, is on a different level than Oryx. She makes what Oryx did look like child's play at this point. She has her, like, tendrils pretty much everywhere, which is terrifying. We don't even know what to believe anymore. Everything's Savathun.
Yeah, the thing against Zivu is that basically he's, as we understand it, he's very straightforward, or she's very straightforward. So I'm much more concerned about Savathun from the perspective of if she comes for us full force, we won't even see it coming, essentially. Whereas Zivu, it's going to be like an Oryx entrance, but much grander, I would imagine. It's just everything.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think.
I think if she's the third one that we meet, we are so effed. We are so effed.
But still, Zivu would have to. From how the sword logic typically works, if Zivu herself didn't kill her sisters, then she wouldn't get the strength from them. That's typically sort of. I guess she would get the remaining hive from maybe their factions, but
that's what I'm talking about though, because like at the end of the day, like even if it's not like an instant power up, that is what put them at the power level that they were at that pushed Oryx over the edge. And so if we remove, basically, if it was a triumvirate, now it's a duality, and if we remove, we put it down to one person, that's all the hive now going like to one point. And we have not dealt with something of that magnitude before.
I don't know.
Like, that is like, holy crap.
All that tribute just flowing up in one direction.
Right, like... Like, yeah, like that might be, like, cause I'm scared. I think the machinations of Savathun are like holy shit. But like, keeping secrets isn't necessarily a destructive pastime. Like, and lying to everyone isn't necessarily like a universe-ending trait. Like, making war on everything you see, like, it seems a bit excessive.
You can argue that making secrets is much more effective as a combat style. A, because you typically have to expend your forces, and B, because you can divide and conquer amongst your enemy.
Oh,
so,
no,
I
just
she
mean
finds,
she, I just mean
finds
she
a way to split us up.
Well, no, I just mean even if we, whether it's we end up killing Savathun before or after she loses her worm, if she ever does, or like what have you, I feel like I would be less worried about humanity completely becoming destroyed, because as we know now, like, her goals, like, we're a pawn to her. She would use humanity if she had to, and that could cause its destruction, but she is not even out to destroy us. She doesn't really care that much. like from the sound of it, like, if Zeebo Arath shows up, Zeebo Arath is making war. Like, that's what's going down.
That's
like,
true. I won't deny that. Zeebo is just out to conquer. That much is very true. But Savathun, her motives are unclear.
Well, that's
so
what I'm saying. But like, I trust that uncertainty right now more than I trust the certainty of what Zeebo Arath would do.
That's fair. That's fair.
Like, there's at least a chance that even if Savathun completely won, like, everyone's not completely effed or like completely destroyed, because I think she's the type that would want to also, like, you can't keep secrets from anyone if everyone's dead.
Yeah, that's the main reason why she wants us to win against the darkness, because she knows that the darkness wins, there's going to be no one left, and she's going to be like, well, this is boring. I can't keep secrets from everyone because everyone's a bunch of skulls. Ah, yes, I will keep a secret from this skull. Yes, that totally helps. That
yeah, one. Or like, what, she makes, like, she keeps secrets from Quoria?
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to tell you how to simulate him. Like, it just doesn't seem like a very good goal for Savathun to have, but like, Zeebo Arath is like, it's more especially if she's at the top of the pyramid like we described, so I guess I'm still like thinking with that in my mind, like, she is almost more frightening in her simplicity. Like,
yes.
Zeebo smash.
She could basically be like Thanos, like when Thanos threw a freaking moon at Iron Man.
Yeah.
She could do that and just be like, I'm just gonna throw moons at you. Just keep throwing moons. I'll just throw moons at the last city. Are they dead yet? Are they dead yet? Are they dead yet? Nope. Okay, just gonna keep throwing war moons. Just keep doing it.
Hits us with our own moon, like, stop hitting yourself.
Oh my god, she's like, stop hitting yourself. Stop hitting yourself. Oh my god.
She is an older sibling bully. It's her entire character. Everyone else is filled with intrigue and, like, you know, nail-biting lore. Not Zeebo. There's no great book.
I'm on board for this.
Yeah,
let's go.
overly simple. Like, doesn't speak in whole sentences. Not because she can't.
It's inefficient.
Yeah, like. why use whole words when few words do trick?
Exactly.
Zeebo's the titan of the group.
Oh, I mean,
indeed.
She 100% is. And what makes me sad about this is Oryx was the hunter, and all he did was float around and act like the other two. And I was like, man, you don't even jump. What kind of hunter doesn't jump?
We don't need jumps.
Lady, I wanted to ask, actually, what is your class main? Who do you
Ooh, what do I main?
Ask? Yeah.
That's a really, really, really tough question, because, see, I, back in D1, I was a hunter main, because I thought hunters were cool, because I like being invisible. I like Blade Dancer. I did Blade Dancer specifically for invis, because I was like, I can just be invisible all the time. It was great. And then Tether came out, and I'm like, purple, favorite color. Bows, I love archery. Sign me up.
Smoke bombs?
Smoke bombs? Dodging? Cool.
Yeah.
So basically, so the Hunter main D1. D2 came out. Still a Hunter main. Forsaken came out. Mm-hmm. But the whole Dreaming City stuff, I'm like, goodbye, Hunter. Hello, Warlock. Because my Warlocks are welcome. I was a Warlock main for the first season of Forsaken. Then I went back to being a Hunter because... No. Then Black Armory came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I like this stuff. Titan. I became a Titan main for one season. Because I still, to this day, love the Black Armory aesthetic for Titans. I'm just a little tiny bit salty. Tiny bit. So before New Light came out, I realized I hate the color pink. Hate it. I just hate the color pink. When I made my Exo Titan, I had accidentally made her eyes pink instead of purple.
Love it.
And I'm like, I cannot stand for this. So I thought, I can wait for New Light and just delete my Titan so I can experience the mission, or I can just delete it now. But my friends were like, but then you'd have to do all the subclass stuff and everything else. I'm like, shit, that's right. So I waited until New Light came out, and then I deleted my Titan. Unnoticed to me, I forgot that they changed the intro quest for Ada. So now Ada hates my Titan, even though I redid the Niobe Labs. I redid Niobe freaking Labs. I hated that shit. I re-got Izanagi's. I did like everything. And she's still just like, Guardian. Angry face. And I'm just like, Ada, why? I've done everything. I have the blacksmith title. What do you want from me?
What I love about that transformation when she starts being nice to you is I feel like, you know how sometimes at work, you'll have that one person who's like just really abrasive with everyone. And then if you're like the right type of friendly or just like don't really care too much about tone if they're not saying anything. Like they're just being direct, like that's cool. And then like I felt like I won that person over, the Towers version of that person.
Yes.
And I just hi.
My just biggest complaint is right now on my Titan. Just my Titan. I get both New Light dialogue and veteran dialogue.
Oh no.
It hurts my brain. Because I'd get, like, if I'm doing, like, a public event or something, then I'd be like, hey. Devrim would be like, alright, just do what you're a great hero of the Red War, you got this. Then I complete the public event, and then Devrim's like, oh, you're a new guardian, come stop by for tea. And I'm like, huh? Huh? Like, could we please, when, like, the new expansion comes out, can we have, like, a toggle for either New Light dialogue or veteran dialogue and have it be per character?
Well, then there's because, also... I'm sorry?
It's just really frustrating, because, like, I just want my... But I don't know. It's, like, all this little, like, weird nuanced things. Like, technically speaking... Ada should be friends with all Guardians now because of the events of the Black Armory campaign. She should be friendly with all of them now. So it shouldn't matter. So why does she still yell at my Titan every time? I just cry.
He knows.
I just cry because I literally, my Titan looks like something like out of the Black Armory. I wear like the full Black Armory armor. I have the Niobe Labs ghost. I have the Sparrow, the ship. Even my Titan's face looks like something out of, like, Black Armor, because I have, like, the black, and then I have, like, there's, like, the one, Exo face paint that's, like, an upside-down U. I'm like, that's basically the Black Armory symbol, so I did that, made it white. Voila! Titan Black Armory. There you go.
I like it.
I'm just salty. That's the one thing I'm salty about. Like, I wish I had Time Machine. Not so I could, like, fix all the world's problems, just so I could go back, like, about a year ago. And tell myself, don't delete your Titan. Delete your Titan before New Light comes out. It doesn't matter. You have a Smurf account, you dumb. That's what I'd do. So then I would have my Titan look how I want. And I would go through and I would redo the freaking quests. I'd do it. Just so Ada would be nice to my Titan. I'm just sad. That's the only thing I'm sad. So I did that, and then Season of the Drifter came out. And then pretty much from Season of the Drifter on, I've been a Hunter main again. But now that I'm max with all three of my characters, I kind of am... I'm the one person in my clan that I'm, like, pretty versatile. Like, if we're doing a raid and we don't have any Titans, I'm like, alright, I'll be a Titan.
Sure.
Oh, we have a shortage of Warlocks? Okay, I'll be a Warlock.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's kind of me. I don't really have a main. I mean, right now, I play my Hunter the most, my Titan the second most, and my Warlock the least right now. Mm-hmm. And that's only because I play as my Titan in Crucible, and I'm really evil, and I don't apologize. No. I run 100 Discipline.
Oh, no.
With Armamentarium, so I have double grenades.
Oh, no.
And I run 9 Hunger with Demolitionist.
Oh, man.
I run Bubble and Suppression Grenades.
You are the fun police.
I am the fun police. No, there was one time in comp where I had a Hunter rush me with Deflect Arcstaff.
Yep.
And it was so funny, he was deflecting because he thought I was going to shoot him. Instead, I just threw a grenade at his feet, and he was blocking, so the grenade was still at his feet as he kept walking forward. And then it went off, and he just stood there, and he was like, huh? I'm going to say hello to my little friend. And then he died. And then after that, him and his buddies were very, very aggressive. And then there was another time when I think it was like 0-0 lives, and there was a Titan, and he popped his super to like cap the point, and he was turning hammers, and I'm like, no super for you. Throws grenade, outs of super, and then we killed him, and I'm just like, see guys? I've even gotten it where I got a Dawnblade out of their super with my suppression units. I've gotten pretty good with them. It's really terrible. And I feel tiny bit bad, just a little bit, but then I remember I'm literally one reset away from Unbroken. So I just have to use whatever. Destroy them.
Don't apologize.
I just have to do whatever it takes. Do what it takes. I'm just salty because I don't think I'm going to be able to get the flawless seal ever, which makes me sad. I don't have any friends who play Trials, and they're like, friends that are good at PvP and want to play Trials. Because I have friends that are good at PvP, but they're like, nah, Trials sucks. I don't want to do it. So I'm like, please.
You know, maybe we got a couple streamer friends that can help.
Oh shit, streamer friends? Oh shit, no.
Yeah.
I've only gone flawless once in my entire life, and that was in D2 not that long ago on my Titan with one of my friends. He already has the flawless title, so he was helping me out, and we got a random guy on LFG, and it was really funny, because the first guy we got, he was not very good at carrying. He would not listen. Like, my buddy Ghost, he would say, hey, watch out, there's a sniper over there.
Mm-hmm.
The guy would peek, get sniped, and we're just like... Mm-hmm. We literally just... It's right. Okay, I've done the same thing. I would literally... There was a sniper lane, and I'd be like, I have to kill them. We can't just stand here and do nothing. And my friend's like, actually, we can.
Mm-hmm.
We can do that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, but...
It's a great strategy.
Legitimate strategy in Trials, especially.
I want to punch them. I want to throw my grenades. And they're like,
no.
Calm down, Titan.
Easy.
But yeah. It's just been funny. I'm not the best at PvP. I just try to more have fun. The thing that I love the most are raids, though. Raids are the best. And dungeons. Absolutely. Raids and dungeons.
I'm with you there.
We gotta do...
I love the Prophecy Dungeon.
Yep. Ribbon Road? Yo.
Yes, Ribbon Road. Like, they need to bring back Sparrow Racing. Come on, Bungie.
I would be so hype. I would even stream for it, because, like...
That would be so fun, like Sparrow Racing.
Not to toot my own horn, I was actually really, really good at SRL. Like, and it's like I'm okay at a lot of stuff. This is not a woe is me, but like, oh man.
Yeah. Here's what they could do. Like, all, you know how for right now, for some weird ass reason, Amanda Holiday had like the replaying the story campaigns. That's dumb. First of all, that's dumb. That's dumb. You take those, you give them to Ikora, who has nothing to do because she's a smart warlock.
Mm-hmm.
Give that to Ikora and give Amanda Holiday Sparrow Racing.
Yep.
Boom.
Have it be like another for fun. Like, I think there are so many, like, just playing Destiny 2. There are so many things like, oh, that could be a Sparrow Racing Gen. You got Rainbow Road, obviously.
Ribbon,
or I guess Ribbon Road.
Ribbon
and then
Road,
we
yeah.
have
the Game Boy Advanced.
the Tree of Probabilities when you're on Mercury. That's another one. And then there's, you could just have, like, so many. You could have...
I mean, that's
you
that's
the one that on Mercury where you go through portals and then you end up in like the past version of Mercury, and then you go through another portal, you end up in the present version, and then you go through another portal and it's like the future. Like, that'd be so crazy. All these portals and jumping.
I would
like,
be
I just,
so
ugh.
Happy. Well,
and then you could give an actual like thing for Amanda Holiday to do. She could like be in charge of the Sparrow Racing, and then it'd be like kind of like how, you know, how Crucible has its own like level up system. Or I guess rank. You could have your own rank for Sparrow Racing, and like if you get really high, you can get like Sparrow Racing armor. And this is gonna sound crazy, but instead of doing armor 2.0, have Sparrow 2.0, where you can just have whatever Sparrow you want, so you don't have to
and
run
put whatever
like,
mods you want on it. Yeah.
Yeah, you can get like these really good mods for Sparrow Racing just by, like ones that'll make your like I don't know
like
something
they,
Sparrow
like they did
Racing
for the SRL
related.
And the armor.
Yeah.
Like when you could put on when you put on the SRL specific armor,
yeah, they
the
could have
suit.
That. Like have like mods for the SRL armor, or SRL Sparrows if you want to do that, and maybe they could have like an SRL themed ghost shell that'd be like a holographic one, kind of like the bunny one,
I like
that
it.
You can get from doing Prophecy solo, like that, and have it be like you get increased like XP in Sparrow Racing or stuff like that.
Yeah, they make all these cool designs, and then you can't use them because the perks suck.
Yeah, that's what makes me so mad. Like, one of my friends, he really wants the bunny ghost shell, but it doesn't have Guiding Light on it. So he's like, ugh, sucks.
Can't use it. Yep.
Like, I think Bungie should do a ghost 2.0.
Well, I liked it more when the ghost shell was just cosmetic. Back
in
D1. I like that more. That I thought that was a lot more fun.
Just have those perks natively to our characters, and then we'll run with whatever we want.
I mean, call me dumb. Just bring back the token. Remember the token slot? Now we kind of have that with the artifact, but like you could just put those two perks there.
Yeah,
there you go.
Like equip.
I don't know
something there.
I just yeah, because like for example, basically the ghost shell you want Speed Demon.
Yep.
And you want
Guiding Light.
Yep.
And those only exist right now. The ones that I have that have that are like the ones from Guardian Games.
Yep.
Oh, so
if you didn't do Guardian Games, like some of my friends, they were like kind of took a break because they thought Guardian Games was dumb.
So
and they didn't get the cool ghost shell.
So
and I'm like,
couple,
that sucks.
There's a couple other sources. Me and the Bagels actually did it back when you could through a glitch in the Destiny app, you could turn the totem shell, which is the little servitor boy. You could change. Basically, if you rolled Speed Demon, you could change the first perk to Guiding Light, is what I think it was, or maybe vice versa.
Yeah, it was one or the other.
Oh my gosh,
that's and so we did that, and that's why like me, I'm just like I'm gonna keep you on because you've been good to me. But you can also get that perk combination right now from the Charity Ghost. It comes with
right, the Charity Ghost.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that. But yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think
something
like
that, I think,
would
be cool. And then it's another thing I think they should change. I don't know. I don't think I don't think they should get rid of the Leviathan raids or Scourge of the Past. Just me personally. I don't like them getting rid of raids. That's my only complaint. I mean, like, I understand, like, I guess what they could do is they could turn, like, the raid like the easier raid layers, like Eater of Worlds, into a dungeon instead. They could very easily do that, I think.
That's fair.
I like some of that. I think some of them are coming back. Like, they're not gone forever. They're gonna come back in that rotation of stuff, because like we're not gonna like once Vault of Glass comes back, that's gonna get rotated out again. But like,
yeah,
it's
like a rotating
dark
system.
Below. Yeah, so like, I think this is just going to be at the end of that system.
Every year, it's going to be like a rotating. Okay, they might get rid of Last Wish, which would be really sad.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get rid of Last Wish, Bungie. I like that. Rate.
I think that's staying, right? Because that location.
Yeah,
is
Last
staying.
Wish is staying, and Garden is staying. There's only going to be three raids available when Beyond Light launches.
Yeah.
Last Wish, guard and then the new ray.
Yep.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I'm excited for the new.
I'm excited for...
I've been waiting for a new raid for so long. Garden's gotten a little stale at this point. I'm not gonna
It's gotten a little stale. Alright, we have our Warlock with Divinity. Everyone else, we're in Xenophage. Bye-bye, boss. It's so funny.
I still need to get that goddamn Anarchy.
I got you.
I need the Anarchy. Thank you. It was really sad. I think we told you before the show started. For fans listening, I ran with the bagels earlier this week, you guys, and literally, Bagels, who's been had the Anarchy, was the only dude who Anarchy dropped for.
I've had Anarchy for so long.
Yeah, he was like the first dude. And you know what? I hate the only one, the only raid like exotic by drop that I had any luck with was a Taraba. And honestly, like it's a little gimmicky, but it's not that fun.
Taraba gets a bad name. Take that into Gambit Prime. It's a lot of fun.
No, I know it is. But I would say there's other options, particularly fourth horse, that just outclass it in everything you would use it for. Like if you're taking an exotic into Gambit and you play Sentry, you don't have fourth horseman, I feel like I need to take your jersey. Like I don't know if you're a Sentry fam.
I used to use Lord of Wolves, but then it got nerfed, so I cry. And now I use like fourth horseman.
Dude, yeah. Bagels, yeah. Jotun's fun for like an invader or like someone who like kind of is also doing like some like reaping stuff. I cannot stress to you how literally fourth horseman melts absolutely everything.
I get that. Jotun just has a little bit more flexibility, which is why I like it. So
well, I mean, yeah, you're gonna want like a heavy machine gun as your heavy at that point, since you can take care of most things with your shotgun at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So you would want like a PvP centric. I really want to see when they come up with the goddamn masterwork. Speaking of Gambit, my true love back when Gambit first came out was the Queenbreaker.
Mm-hmm.
And I want that catalyst. I want it so bad.
Just amp up the aim assist.
Just turn it back to how it was.
No, please, no, dude, it was so bad.
I think I was playing with you as well. Like, I know we knew each other back then, but I think, like, you saw it too, man. Like, I was mean with that. I was so goddamn mean with that. And I was still mean with it after, but then, like, other stuff, like, it had declined to the point that other stuff was more useful.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that it was even like that hard to use. I really, really enjoy the Drifters one though. The as far as linears go, what's it called? I can't remember the name, but it's the one that shoots a slug instead of
Oh, you're talking about Arbalest. That's
Arbalest, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not where the other one's at, but the fact that it runs off of that's another very fun one to use.
Yeah, I like Arbalest. I prefer it in Crucible over using Gambit, but yeah, it's actually pretty good in Crucible.
Well, Gambit, it is, because that's how I got the that's how I got that one seasonal.
Yeah, Komodo.
Yeah, the Komodo. I was gonna say the dragon. But yeah, the I was it was like a pleasure to use.
Mm-hmm.
But man. It was fun. That was like the only fun part about that quest, because once I got Komodo, it just went straight in the vault.
Yeah, Komodo, you know, it's okay, but there's nothing special about it.
Exactly. Kind of a letdown for. But they've gotten better about I think the seasonal weapons too.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I like what they're doing.
I'm curious to see how they're, because they said they're gonna consolidate Gambit and Gambit Prime into one singular playlist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just interested to see what they're gonna do, because like
I hope it just goes back to regular Gambit
personally. But what about my Gambit Prime armor? I worked so hard to get it, and I got armor 2.0 versions of it.
Oh really?
You can use it if you have a copy of it. You can use it as a shader or whatever, a skin,
Transmog.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's my thing though, assuming Like, what's interesting though, if you have the Gambit Prime Armor, you can't put ornaments on it, which I think makes sense because it gives you Gambit Prime Armor gives you a distinct advantage in Gambit Prime.
Just like exotics.
Yeah, they're kind of like exotics. You can't put ornaments on exotic. I mean, you can put ornaments, but you can't put like transmog.
Yeah, which makes sense. Still makes it clear that it's an exotic and what it does.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I kind of like the Gambit Prime thing, but I'm kind of crazy, and I have the Reckoner title.
Same.
So, I like Gambit Prime. Here's the Gambit Prime, when you are going in solo, sucks. Mm-hmm. It sucks.
As
you
a
go
team?
In with the four as a team, as a four stack, mm-hmm. with everyone with the full armor and using exotics, and the other team all using the four armor sets, it's insane. You gotta like look out for giant blockers. You gotta look out. Oh, shoot. The invader's here. All right. Sentry, you gotta mark him. Oh, shoot, he locked down the bank. We gotta kill him. Oh, man. Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
It's a lot more fun, with especially if you go in with your friends. Mm-hmm. That's what I do for Gambit Prime.
I agree. Yeah.
So, I hear you, and I think that is a great feature of Gambit Prime, especially like some of like the wacky stuff you can do with the different suits. But something about the having the different rounds of regular Gambit, where like you're back in the derelict and you're emoting at each other, and especially, I actually enjoyed it when it was three full rounds, as opposed to like the. But I do think it's also good to go like straight for like the sudden death in the third one. It's just something about that interaction that makes it so much more like a sporty game version
oh, yeah,
of Destiny
definitely.
To me, that like I really enjoy and I think is kind of lost on Prime a little bit.
Yeah. I get that.
Because especially,
and it kind of makes sense. Oh, sorry.
I'm just right. Especially if you're in there, that like if you go three rounds, that second time in between that you're back in the derelict is just like, oh,
now shit's getting real.
Yeah.
But, I'm a hunter. I'm like, okay, yes. Luckily, before that, swap to middle tree, swap to blade barrage. Okay,
right.
We're gonna win, guys. Don't worry.
Yeah, it's just an auto win code if the other team doesn't have it.
Just spam the blade barrage.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
Well, that's true. That's a good point. Then you have that one guy who invades with golden gun. Pew pew.
That's me. Pew, pew, that's pew, me. Pew. I invade. I use golden gun and xenophage. In Revoker.
Oh,
I'm not a nice person. I'm not a nice person. There was one time where I got like, I think almost 20 kills as an invader.
Mm-hmm.
It was spicy. I was wearing the full invader set. I was like, I've had enough. My friends, they were trying to get their last reset for Dredgen.
Oh, sure.
With last week, it was last week with the 3x infamy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, we can do Gambit Prime. That'll be fun. So I was, and then someone was like, all right, I want to be Reaper. I want to be Sentry. And I was like, I'll just collect moats. And I'm like, oh, I guess that means I'm the invader.
I'll have a rock.
Okay, this is fine. And then I looked at my armor and apparently I dismantled my invader boots. So I didn't have boots. And I was like, shoot. I'm like, wait, I have the coin things. I can just use a coin thing. Everything's fine. Mm-hmm. So I put on stompies.
Of course,
and then I went in.
As one does.
And, I wiped the whole enemy team, and then I made someone leave. And I was like, oops. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I killed two guys with 15 motes.
Oh, jeez.
That's pretty sweet.
I really like Gambit. I don't know. I'd be kind of sad if Gambit Prime goes away, because I think Gambit Prime's really fun. Mm-hmm. It just, I don't know. It would almost make more sense to have regular Gambit be almost like solo queue, or not solo, but you can go in solo queue or not, but maybe make Gambit Prime more for teams, kind of like how
trials
you have to have a fire team to go into. You can't do it solo.
Interesting concept. Like Gambit Prime,
because like pretty much everyone who I've talked to has said Gambit Prime sucks when you're by yourself.
It does.
So, like, wouldn't it make more sense to alleviate that issue and just make Gambit Prime be, like, a fire team player? Like, you can't go in by yourself, but you can go with, like, two or three or even a full team. I think that would be really interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe make it a little bit better. I don't know.
I think that'd be cool. I'd definitely give it a shot. if it was up to me. Or, like, if it came out like that, I'd be like, oh, okay. I see the difference in it now. Because, like, right now, it's just like, how much do you like playing Gambit? Do you want to play longer version of Gambit? Or do you want to play shorter version of Gambit, but is harder?
Is maybe a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
The shorter version, it'll be, like, a little bit more, I wouldn't say difficult, but, like, there's no communication. Kind of like, yeah, kind of like freelance versus...
Yeah.
Versus
regular comp. Yep.
Regular comp.
I want the freelance playlist back for everything. Like it was at the in Rise of Iron.
Oh, for just casuals, sure.
Yeah, just like just anything that there is. I feel like back then it was like everything that was competitive.
Yeah, there was a freelance for like sixes and whatnot.
Yep. I think also Iron Banner. Like that was what a time to be alive.
I'm not so sure about Iron Banner. I think Iron Banner was like people seem to have rose-colored glasses with Iron Banner. I remember Iron Banner was just stopping over people, even T1.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Iron Banner is a very playing the Iron Banner is like participating in a video of one-sided fights.
Yeah.
Like
either one way or the other, and that's what it is.
Yeah, and even if your scores are similar, it's not that they're not killing you, it's that they're not capping the points. The fight is still very one-sided. They've just prolonged it by way of math.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, man. So, let's see where we're at on recording now. Oh, man. We've got some sweet, sweet content, you guys.
So much content.
I'm gonna use.
I talk too so much. I'm sorry.
Oh, dude, you're no, good. Don't be sorry. That's this, literally this you blast. Came. I honestly, like, I just want to put this out there. You literally came on a talk show. Like,
I did.
If you did not talk, I really don't know. Like, I mean,
what are we doing? Why are you here?
Yeah, like, I would have been like, and I would have been engaging the heck out of him. Like, so, Lady Lucinda, what do you think? And what about this? What about this?
I just talk a lot. I'm sorry.
Oh no, dude, you're in good company for it.
Sweet.
Literally, what we do in our free time for fun is do stuff to make other people listen to us talk.
That's great.
Don't worry, Bagels. I'm gonna edit that out. Leave that one. But yeah, thank you so much for coming on the show here. I know
no problem.
I know that you know through your storytelling and educating us and the listeners tonight, you've mentioned a couple of the places that you can be found. But where officially can any new fans Ooh. Or fans that you already had find you?
Find me. Where can they find me?
Yeah.
I'm mainly active on Twitter. Same handle, Lady Lucida. And I do have a Twitch channel, but I haven't live streamed that in a very, very long time because I'm lazy. I kind of was like, oh yeah, I should live stream quarantine. And then I was like, that's work. I'd have to like set everything up. And I don't know if where I'm living because I had to move back from the dorms that I was living in back with my parents. I'm like, I don't think their internet can handle that. So, like, it gets bad when I'm like in a meeting and then my brother's on Zoom or whatever for his class and my dad's at work and my mom's doing whatever she needs for work. It's already getting a little like stretched thin. I don't want to like, so yeah, live streaming is on hold, but it's the if you want to follow me on Twitch, I guess it's the same handle on there, Lady Lucida. And then I also have an Instagram, but I just mainly post screenshots of Destiny.
Love
again,
it.
Same handle. Lady Lucida. It's consistent everywhere. So yeah, that's where you can find me and stuff.
I love it. I'm actually looking at your page right now.
Oh no.
I love your banner, but Hot Cocoa Addict? Okay, good to know.
You don't understand. I love hot chocolate. It's so bad. Like, I'm out of hot chocolate right now,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just like, this is a national crisis. I have to get some on Amazon or something. Yeah. I don't know. Because I really, like, my... I love... Like, I like hot chocolate. But my favorite is peppermint hot chocolate. I don't know why. Just peppermint hot chocolate is the best hot chocolate ever. And I don't have any right now, and I'm sad. I'm having to resort. Luckily, I have a giant box of like candy canes, like mini candy canes that I just put in the hot chocolate. So it's basically the same thing, but it's not the same.
It's not.
It's not the same.
It's not.
It's really not.
It's like once you learn, if you grew up like me, that you can make it with warm milk.
Exactly. Yes. I know that now.
Yeah.
One of my friends told me, like, wait, you've been using water this whole time?
Yeah.
Water? Like, no,
like
use
an
milk.
Asshole.
Use milk.
And
like,
you know,
use milk. And I'm like, what? Yeah. And I did that, and I'm like, my God, this is the most beautiful thing.
Yeah. It was life changing and weight gaining, for me.
Same. Big mood. I had to actually stop. I was like, well. I think I should probably stop drinking the hot chocolate now, because, yeah.
this is what I do. But I also wanted to say I noticed on their happy belated birthday. You had a birthday.
Aw,
like,
thanks,
all over
man.
A week ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Happy I keep forgetting I had a birthday podcast. Like a week ago. Yeah.
We're literally having all of the birthdays on the podcast.
I am here for it. If that's what people like. And that's what we become known for. It's like, yeah, you know, they're a smaller podcast, but an amazing amount of more like popular people have their birthday on this show. So, yeah, I don't get it
what
either.
Do you know?
It's like I'm here but for yeah. it because you know celebrate.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, thank you so much for being on the show.
No
it
problem.
It was really a pleasure to have you on. There are so many things I didn't know that I didn't know.
Well, now you know.
About right. though that were happening in a game that I've literally spent like hundreds of hours.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Probably more, and I'm not gonna look up time wasted on Destiny to confirm. I don't need that. I don't need that in my life. But but yeah, that's what I would. Like to thank you for the most. Like that was really all the cool little symbolism. I'm not gonna go symbology on you, but I really
yeah.
appreciate the insights and all the work you've done amassing this,
Aww,
this information.
Absolutely, it's fantastic.
So yeah, you guys heard it in the intro, but be sure to check out you know Cryptarchy and the Ishtar Collective and see the different work that we were discussing here tonight as a reference to if you were wondering like what exactly were they talking about, like that's where you can
what do you mean what yeah. symbols what did they mean
right
that's where you can read her original work and that's where you can actually like get a big a better understanding than even me trying to represent it in the show notes and like give you timestamps and stuff like that. So like definitely
all good.
Definitely big shout out there, and I think that's gonna be my greater shout out Ishtar Collective and our guest this week just for how they've helped different parts of the community grow and how we're able to experience and appreciate
yeah,
new parts of the game because of the investment people like yourself have put in. So like thank you so much for being on there. Bagels, you got any shout outs?
Just shout out to I guess, well, the people of Hong Kong, because their shit is still going down over there. I know it's kind of quieted down in the media, but they're quietly being just absorbed by China, and it's not cool, at least from my perspective. So I just want a little bit of awareness for those folks and what they're going through. It's still not perfect, and I think the protests have kind of died down over there. For
the coverage
reasons,
of it has, certainly. Like,
yeah, yeah, definitely coverage of it.
Yeah, and my perspective is that they certainly the government is cracking down on people that are subverting China's will. I know there was a law that was introduced last week regarding people that are against the party, even as post ex facto law. Basically, if you have done things in the past, you are against the law, as they have put it.
And you don't
so,
have to be
yeah.
a citizen of China to be arrested.
Exactly. It's scary stuff, what's kind of going on there, and I just want to give a shout-out to that, because it's not good. So,
mirror to that, as someone in a city also going through a series of protests, honestly, like, we have definitely emulated and learned from what's going on in Hong Kong, so just to mirror what the Bengals was saying, 100%, yeah. Thoughts, love, support.
Yeah, definitely. It's dark times right now.
Yeah. Groovy. Very, very thoughtful shout out there, the Bengals. Proud of you. Lady Lucita, do you have any shout outs that you'd like to make?
Any shout outs?
Yeah.
Shoot. You guys already took mine. I was going to shout out Ishtar, because they're, like, super cool. Because they keep track of, they, like, every season they update. They have lore books on there. They have, like, categories. Like, oh, you want to just read about Cade Six, for example. Okay, here's all the lore on him.
Mm-hmm. It's
all the lore books that mention him.
Yeah. Yes. It's fantastic.
It's just fantastic. I love it a lot. I think it's great.
Something I could never do, because I am not that type of brain. No, I am not that type of brain. I would have it in some weird system where I could just see everything, and it would be an abomination of organization.
Yes, yes, that's me.
I kind of want to see
I'm like,
stuff.
Oh, this is organized. This
like,
is organized, and then...
Well, yeah.
But then someone else looks at it, and they're like, this is chaos. This is not organized.
They start throwing it away because they think it's trash. It's on the floor. No, but that's the spot for.
I'm just imagining you as Charlie, just with all the red lines connected out across the map.
It's
all next year. That's how it all connects.
I do practice bird law.
It all connects.
I do practice bird law, so I do have that. No, I don't. Please don't contact me for any bird law questions. I am not. I have not. I hold no degree in bird law and have not passed any bird bar, so please.
You guys are funny.
Thank you. Well, with that, guys, this has been an amazing ride. Thank you to our guest, Lady Lucita, once more. But with that, everyone, like, stay safe out there. That's really what
Absolutely.
I care about the most, and we'll see you
next
time.
Yeah, definitely.
So, bye bye.
Bye.
Toodles!
That's the end of this week's topic, but be sure to check out our past and future episodes on Spotify, iTunes, and Podbean. If you have any questions about this week's topic, want to discuss Destiny lore with us, or if you just feel like reaching out to us, you can find us on Twitter at SpinfoilTheory, or you can email us via SpinfoilTheory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening!